Ahoy, Mr. Dan Morin.
Aloha, Mr. Jason Snow.
I'm worried that we're in a... I know it's our thing, but it concerns me that Mike Hurley was able to do a spot-on impression of us doing this podcast today to me.
Oh,
he did
dear.
A whole, hi, Dan. Hi, Jason. I was like,
We've become the stuff of parody.
I guess we're our own theme song, though.
Yeah, that's true. I like to feel like we maybe established like a brand.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta have a catchphrase, you gotta have an identity.
I don't think we did it on purpose, it just sort of happened.
I mean, how do you start a conversation?
Because it is literally, and for people who don't know, we don't like talk. So many podcasts I do, you know, you get on, you get everybody set on Skype, and everybody starts recording and all that, and you do all of that, and then you start the podcast. And that's what for people here is like, oh, welcome back to this podcast. But there's actually a whole bunch of stuff that happens before that. That does not happen with this podcast.
No. I got to be ready. When that Skype rings, I know when I'm clicking that button.
Yeah.
We're on.
The call establishes. I sit and wait for about 5 seconds for call recorder to turn on. And then I say hi.
And then
Dan.
The magic happens,
then,
Jason.
Then the magic happens. So here's the magic. So, Dan, I'm super stressed out. I've recorded like a dozen podcasts this week. I've written thousands of words because I'm going on vacation, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vacation's a plus.
2 days, I'm going on vacation. I have, you know, that's going to be awesome, but I have to get there. Oh.
Getting there is half the battle.
Yeah.
And or maybe more.
The fun?
I don't know.
I don't.
It's the journey, not the destination. No, that's not true. It's the destination.
Yeah. Well, I don't do free agents anymore, but that definitely was one of those topics there is that, you know, when you're...
How do you take a vacation?
When you're on your own, what ends up happening is you can take a vacation, but you end up probably like having to just do all the work that you would have delivered while you were gone before and after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm doing this week.
You gotta move the schedule around. Or, yeah, I don't know. I sometimes take a break from some shows if I'm going to be gone. Like,
yeah.
Clockwise, I'll have somebody fill in sometimes.
Because
I only
guess,
miss one or two,
right,
really,
so download Steven's hosting next week, and that's great. But then the like, upgrade is me and Mike. I'm on every episode. I can't. So we had to pre-record a bunch for that and for his honeymoon, too. So we did three upgrades this week. Yeah. The one people heard on Monday, one that's going to be in the bank for a few weeks, and one that people will hear this coming Monday, when that episode will drop, I will be wandering around in Amsterdam, basically, I think, when that episode drops. I'm gone, baby. Gone.
Jason is lost in Amsterdam. Yeah, well, it's nice to be able to have the option to do that, though, right? I mean, there are shows, you know, Clockwise... I don't think that works as well. It's not a strictly because the stuff that we talk about on that show is always current events, but oftentimes some of it is.
Yeah,
you know, like,
it would be, you could do an evergreen Clockwise, but it would be hard. And the nice thing about it is that with two hosts, you can get a guest host and do it that way, which is why, like, having Steven on download, I can have him sit in for me. But even then, we're skipping the following week because we're both traveling. And we decided not to find, like, somebody who has never done the show to host the show and put it together. We're like, we're just going to not do that week.
It won't even be the show at that point, right? Like,
right.
You know, that's a very different
situation. And that's about the news of the week. So, I mean, there's no way we could pre-tape it. So we're just not going to do
it. I mean, on the flip side, we've got a show like, you know, I do The Rebound and like Lex is missing half 50% of the episode.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can get away with that because you can fill it in.
Is Lex still on that show?
Lex is still, he's still on at least half the episodes.
All right.
He's on the contractual minimum.
Oh, good. Well, you know. That's something.
It's not because, you know, James Thompson has been gunning for him hard. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, that's
James
that's
is ready to step in there and just elbow Lex aside.
That's,
but James,
you know,
doesn't sell as many ads as Lex does, so that's the downside.
True. We haven't asked him to, though. I mean, if P-Calc wants to sponsor the show,
he can be on every week.
He can be on as much as he wants.
I like that. I'm paying you to listen to me now.
Yeah, it's the era. Yeah. It's Vanity Podcast is what it is.
Sure. So what's going on? What are other than me, like, it's been such a week. It's been such a week. I wrote about the Apple TV. I feel like I'm about Apple TV service, which I feel like I'm getting kind of, I mean, the fact is we're probably not going to see it until the spring. And, it's just kind of funny because they just keep buying content. They bought more. They made a deal with like Sesame Workshop this week to do a bunch like basically they're handing the money and saying, here, make children's programming for us. And they need the money. They're a nonprofit, and they had to do Sesame Street with HBO to get mm-hmm. little extra money to keep that show going. So now they got a big deal with Apple, which is huge. And they made a bunch of other deals. They made the Oprah deal and all that. So
part of me wonders if we might see something, you know, before then, just to like whet people's appetites.
Yeah,
like
I'm not sure. I mean, they could announce that they were doing it or something like that, which everybody knows already. But I kind
right.
of feel
it's an
like
open secret. Yeah,
I kind of feel like they're not going to have enough material to deliver until
because
the spring.
The fall does seem like a time that would work well for it in terms of Apple's own planning. Right, oftentimes it's a media event. There's like TV, like they've often done Apple TV announcements in the fall.
Yeah.
And so it seems like a natural time, unlike WWDC, where I don't think anybody really expected to hear anything about this because that was not the right audience or the right venue for it. And not to say it's, you know, it's Apple. They can call a press conference whenever the hell they
want.
But fall, too, is traditionally a time when people, you know, new TV shows start and stuff like that.
Although you can make the counter argument that that's the last time you want to be there because you're competing with everybody else.
That's true.
I don't know.
It's a new business for them, right? I mean, you know, it was not that long ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I feel like, that we were actually saying like, Apple's not going to invest this money in original content. They're not going to go in that direction. And like so many things, I think we were proven wrong. Like, I don't think...
I mean, this is more than $1 billion in deals that they're making. This is not for, you know, everybody out there who's like, oh, well, Planet of the Apps. Like, this is not Planet of the Apps. These are the people that they hired a year ago. They hired high-powered TV executives who hired more high-powered TV executives and have built a whole TV team in L.A. who are buying... It's almost 20, I think, shows now. It depends on how you count. Getting up toward 24. They made a deal. They bought a couple international shows. They bought a show out of Canal Plus in France, that where they're buying it for English language remake. And they bought the streaming rights to the French original, which is one of the questions is like, how do they get access to countries that have a certain mandated sort of like local content? And the answer is they're going to buy content and get into Europe. They have a head of European programming who they hired from the BBC, and that's European programming, not UK programming. I'm pretty sure that they're going to try to be in as many markets with this thing as possible. It's interesting. There was a piece that kind of made me laugh at on The Verge today, and I didn't tweet about it because the last thing I really need to do while I'm trying very hard to get through all my stuff and go on vacation is get in an argument with somebody who writes for The Verge. But the piece was like about Apple's thing, but the headline was like, Apple's buying all these shows, but where are they going to put them? I was like, okay. And then the piece is very much like this weird back and forth of like, but people are fatigued with subscriptions, but it really depends on if they're good. They got to beat Netflix, although it'll be easy for them to beat all of the other services that aren't Netflix. It's like, it's this very much, what I got out of that story is, come on, Apple, I want to know what you're doing. And it's like, well, they're not ready yet. They are buying, it's like two or three items a week now about deals that Apple is closing in the entertainment press.
You know, worrying about where they're going to put them, I feel like, is, it's not quite rearranging deck chairs in the Titanic, but it's like, that's the least of the challenges. I mean, like, they're building a business from the ground up, right?
Yes.
Like, they can find a place to put these things. Well, they just got to decide. In fact, they have many options. They just need to decide what they want to do.
Thank you for the segue into the piece I wrote on Macworld this week.
Which was
basically me challenging myself to pick a scenario because the scenario I picked, I freely admit, it probably has less than a 20% chance of being right. Because although even the most likely scenario is not very likely, because there are so many different ways they could play this. But I do think, gut feeling, that they're going to charge for it. It's not going to be an add-in to Apple Music. They may bundle it with Apple Music, but I think it's going to
be
a standalone
option.
They're going to charge. They want money. They want your money. And they're going to roll out a bunch of shows. And there are a lot of questions. Will they roll out weekly? Will they roll out in a single binge? Will they do what some experimentation has happened lately, where they're sort of like break the season in two? Because it gives you a little bit more little bit more press, because you have a couple different content drops. I kind of like that idea as a compromise, although I'd be happy if they dropped weekly. I think that would be cool too. But you know, when is an open question. I've been saying all along that was no sooner than fall, but I feel like that's too soon, that it'll be next spring probably, or next summer before it happens.
The production stuff does not seem to have ramped. Like, it's moving, but it's not at a pace where they would be ready, I think, to distribute stuff in the
fall. I haven't heard a lot of, like, even the deals they made last fall, I haven't heard a lot of reports about, like, that they're shooting, although they may be shooting stuff. It's possible. But keep in mind, they have to collect it all, because they gotta, you know, they're not gonna launch, I think, with a show.
No, right? No, I think and they're not gonna launch with 20 shows either, probably. They're probably gonna launch somewhere in between.
No, they probably ordered their, everything that they've ordered probably includes the stuff that they're going to launch with, because they'll probably launch with the stuff they ordered the first 3 months or 6 months that those executives were there. And then the stuff that they're ordering now is stuff we'll see a year in to the service. And that's fine. It's just, well, you know,
the seriousness too, right? Like, you know, it's not just the amount of money, but, you know, getting people, you know, you've got like Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon, you've got Oprah. I mean,
Oprah.
Like,
yep.
That's enormous, Oprah. Right? Like, that's just like, this is serious business.
Ron Moore's doing a science fiction show for them.
Yeah.
You know, the Amazing Stories thing. They're like the Foundation adaptation that they're going to do. Like, there's so many different deals that they've made.
It's a wide-reaching service, and that is fascinating.
That is the ambition here, right? It's not just a couple of shows.
Well, here's what makes it especially interesting to me is because in Apple's case, it feels like it's growing out of... You have a lot of cases where people have, like, oh, we had existing catalogs, huge streaming catalogs like Netflix, and then we're going to start making our own shows kind of on the side. Netflix did that. Hulu kind of did that. You know, and then you've got like the tech companies, Amazon kind of, you know, start out, they're probably the closest analog in terms of starting out with sort of like a marketplace for buying stuff and then transitioning and making more original content. And then on the other side of the fence, you've got the networks, you know, which were always making TV content and then have decided to dip their toes in digital distribution. But Apple feels kind of not like quite like either of those. They're really just building this all from the ground up.
This is not like what we've seen before. And I think the reason is, I mean, this is one of my arguments about how they would do this is, you know, that they would take time and they would dip their toe in and then they would start kind of like rolling. That is not what they've decided to do.
No,
they have decided to do something that there are, I think, maybe no analogs of, which is just buy an entire slate of originals and launch with a full service. They're not ramping up. They're not transitioning from a traditional TV side. They're just going to drop, like, here it is. Here's all of it. Now, I think we're going to see some of that with there's like the DC TV that's launching.
Yeah,
there are the Disney services that are going to launch. I think those are going to be like this in the sense that they've got multiple originals.
Even those have backlogs of stuff that's associated, right?
Right.
Disney's got a huge vault of content. DC has, there were certainly any number of pre-existing DC shows. How much of those will be available on the streaming service?
I don't know.
But
the idea, and how many are they going to launch with? It's like CBS All Access launched, and it's got like, it had like three originals, and now it has like maybe five. But Apple's going to launch with, I don't know, a dozen shows, and they've already bought, before launch, a couple dozen shows. So I feel like it is a launch that is, they're not doing this halfway. Like, they are aiming to premiere as the, you know, as a premium streaming service with very few peers. Like, they're going to use the Apple money, they got all that money, to basically leapfrog all the way to in with the big boys, in with Netflix and Amazon and Hulu up there.
And it's a risky move too, right? Like, because like you said, they're not dipping their toe. They're not like being like, all right, well, we'll see if this works. And if it works, we'll expand. It's like, no, we are backing up a dump truck and just like dumping everything in there, which is if it doesn't work. And I don't think that's extremely likely. Because Apple has enough cash, certainly keep it running for a while. And sometimes these things might need a little bit of runway before they really start going. But like, if it doesn't work, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money that they spent. And they have to know that, right? They have to know that that is a risk. but it's kind of fascinating to see them not really care that much.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be great to watch.
Yeah, I'm fascinated. You know, the drama around the service is almost as interesting as the shows they've announced.
What else? What else, Dan? You were musing about... were you musing about missing Apple products?
Quote unquote, the missing Macs
and AirPower too, right? This week,
oh, and AirPower, like, yeah.
Here, little products,
where is
products,
the AirPower?
Products.
Well, the Mac thing is interesting. This thing came up last week because Quentin Carnicelli over at Rogue Amoeba wrote a post about how old all the Mac models are, with the exception of the iMac Pro. Basically, none of them have been revamped since WWDC last year, and that caused a little bit of discussion. And I don't know. To me, it felt like it always seems like there's a long time between Apple products, or at least this is not new to me. I feel like there have been plenty of times in the past where this happened. What is unusual is that because they dropped a whole slew of Mac updates at once last year, it made it so there was not as much of a staggered rollout of new Mac products. And so a year plus for revising a computer is not unheard of for the Mac, but having them all lined up on the same schedule is a little weird. And so I feel like maybe there's kind of a perfect storm thing happening there. You know, there were some slowdowns with Intel's chip pipeline that could have played into that. Part of me wonders if the problems they've had with the MacBook keyboards it caused them to go back to the drawing board and maybe come up with updates there, right? Like, so all these things sort of combined into like a perfect storm of, yeah, we're not going to have any Mac updates, certainly in June. I would be surprised if they went the calendar year without Mac updates. I think they'll probably will have them later in the year. I think there will be, I'm putting my flag in the ground now and saying I think there will be two events this fall, because I think there's too much stuff to do in one.
I agree with you. I think it's hard to imagine. I mean, the Macs hanging out there is the thing, right? Like, they could release the new iPad Pro with no button and notch and Face ID at the iPhone event if they wanted to. They could also not. They could also do it later, but they could do it at that event.
There's going to be a new watch, too, that in the mix.
But I don't think they can do phone and iPad and watch and new laptops, unless the laptops are literally not different. Yeah, that there's just speed bumps, in which case I am a little frustrated that we're sitting here and that hasn't happened yet. But I think, and this came up on Upgrade when somebody sort of misunderstood when I was saying sort of like people who are buying laptops for their kids to go off to school should wait because maybe there'll be a new chip generation. It's like, no, that's not a reason to wait. The reason to wait is maybe there'll be a more reliable keyboard.
Yeah.
And that might be a reason to wait. But I think your theory is quite possible, which is that the keyboard thing has been enough of a problem that they got a little bit off track with their schedule because they needed to not just let that ride and they needed to make some more changes. They already changed it once. Now that they're potentially changing it again, and that is really hard to do fast and midstream with something that may have already been designed with the assumption that the second generation of that keyboard was good enough. And then they're like, maybe it's still not good enough. If that's the case, that might be a reason. And it may also be Intel chips. That's possible.
And we've heard the whole, I mean, we were talking months ago also about this whole, is the MacBook Air getting redesigned? Is there a new low cost Mac? Like, what the heck is going on with the low end of the portables?
Right. Cause that rumor is still out there, right? That they're not only going to just rev the MacBook and MacBook Pro, but that the MacBook Air may return.
Yeah.
I mean, it never really went away, but it kind of has gone away-ish. Which is an interesting idea, too. Which back months ago, that was the hot topic, and now it's just kind of dropped for a while. But now we're back with this big mystery.
It sounds like there's a big shakeup coming for the Mac.
Gotta be.
One would think so, right? Like, I mean, Apple has basically there shouldn't be anybody's doubt that Apple's going to abandon the Mac, even after people's fears, you know, with the whole Marzipan thing. Like, they're not going to just be like, no new Macs for the next 2 years. Like, that's not going to happen. They're still selling Macs. They sell a reliable number of those every quarter. They're not about to abandon it. So the question is just one of when. I think it would be extremely surprising if the year passed with no Mac updates. That would be kind of unprecedented. And at that point, you know, I could excuse people getting kind of worried that there might be something going on just in terms of like pipeline development or product development or something like that. Unforeseen technical challenges, what have you. But, you know, the year's not over yet. So I feel like there's a lot of talk over something that may not be as big a deal as we think it is. It may just be you ran into problems. Chaos happens. The air power, which we talked about, I think, last week, 2 weeks ago, that's just super bizarre to me. But at this point, if you're going to launch it, you might as well throw it in September with the phones, right? Like, there's not a huge advantage to doing it before then. And plus, you've bought yourself a little bit extra time to keep working on it because, you know, if it didn't show up at WWDC, then no one's expecting it to be announced between now right. and the iPhone launch.
We talked about this in what will be Monday's episode of Upgrade, which I recorded earlier today, which basically is this and the AirPlay and all that. Like, it feels like Apple had misplaced confidence in their capability yeah. of building a product. And what it says to me is Apple should revisit its policy of just not talking about products that aren't ready to ship. Like, announce it when you've got it ready to ship. Announce it when it's in hand and not a moment before then.
So they used to do much more reliably.
Yes, they did.
They've always announced some stuff way ahead of time, but usually there's a reason, right? Like, you know, if it's the Apple Watch, first Apple Watch, or the first iPhone, right? Like, you know, you're there to drum up some excitement about a product.
Exactly.
No one was that excited about a wireless charging pad. Like, it's cool, don't get me wrong, but it didn't need to be announced
yeah,
6 months or a year in advance.
Even there, I could argue, like, with the Apple Watch, like, I think what they wanted to do with the Apple Watch is use the halo of the iPhone to give, because
sure.
everybody's always going to be the most interested in the iPhone event, to give momentum to the Apple Watch. But that all said, they announced the Apple Watch and then you couldn't buy one for 6 months.
Right.
And I think that's less effective. We always used to talk about that with Macworld coverage back in the day, which was we could cover like betas, like the season we're in now. We could cover like a beta back when there was no public beta even. We could cover mm-hmm. like, here's what is going to be in OS 10 in the fall. And then OS 10 would come out and people would be like, whoa, what is this? And I learned the lesson that people really pay attention when they can get it.
Yeah.
And not when they can't get it just because it's been announced. That is a specific audience that cares. And even then, they only care theoretically, and then they are going to forget. What you want is to hit people when they can take an action. And so the Apple Watch is an interesting example where even there, and I get why they did it, but like 6 months later, if you recall, they had to like reintroduce the Apple Watch,
yeah, right.
explain it again, and then say, well, now you can buy one or you can pre-order one.
Yeah, it's a lot of lead time. I mean, like the HomePod or the AirPods, which they also pre-announced, sort of like there was a smaller range there, right? Like sometimes they announce stuff and be like, this is coming today and this is coming next month, right? Like that happens. That's fine. I don't think that's a long enough lag time for anybody to forget. But yeah, the Apple Watch was super far in advance.
Yeah, so if I were at Apple, I would probably say, I'm glad you're confident, but we're going to wait until it's ready to go before we announce it. Like that, yeah. That's the policy, is we've learned too many times now that there's some engineer somewhere who's like, oh no, air power, it's going to be great. We got it all figured out. And then things are like on fire and possibly literally. And they're like, we've got to go back to the drawing board. Or AirPlay 2, which I've heard, I mentioned this on Upgrade 2, I've heard from various sources, like, it didn't work and they had to do it again. They had to redo it. They had to figure it out and rebuild it and do a new version of AirPlay 2 to get it to work right. And it was great that you were super confident that you could do it, but it turns out you were wrong. You couldn't do it. So maybe don't announce that feature until you can do it.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, did they really think it was not, there wasn't enough like other stuff basically like that? I guess
I don't know. I don't know. I think there's an argument to be made that, like, look at this product line, right? It's like, we're going to do the AirPods and we've got the phone and we've got the watch. And it was part of a larger discussion about wireless charging and about how Apple was taking the standard, but also pushing it forward. And it was a good marketing message, but some of it turned out to be kind of empty. And in hindsight, I mean, could they not have just said the iPhone 8 and 10 use Qi chargers and these are ones we've tried and they're awesome, and sure. then didn't say that next part, I think that would have been fine.
I think that would have been fine as well, because I think if nothing else, it's given a long time for people to be like, you know, when this comes back this year, for example, and they're like, and we're going to sell this, and it's going to be, you know, $200 or something, you know, $199. Everyone's going to be like, wait, we waited a year for this $200 charging pad when we've been buying these other charging pads for $30 or $40? Like, I think you've actually made your job harder for yourself in some ways.
Yeah. And so we'll see what Apple is. Obviously, with my feeling about this is with Steve dying, with Katie Cotton leaving, been a lot of turnover in Apple marketing and PR. Phil is taking the lead there, obviously, Phil Schiller. Tim Cook, CEO, Steve Dowling's in charge of PR. They're all doing, like, there was a period where they kept going by the old playbook, but then there became this period where they're like, okay, now we're going to change it up. We have different people. We've got some different ideas. We're going to go away from the book that I felt was like, especially I think of as like the Steve Jobs playbook. And that Katie Cotton as the head of PR was like one of the enforcers of that. And now they're doing different stuff. And I think that's fine. This is one of those cases where I start to wonder if this is just the learning experience of, oh yeah, I guess we should not. We get enthusiastic about this stuff and we pre-announce it, and maybe that, you know, maybe we need to go back to old Apple here and just like keep it all close to the vest until we're ready to talk about it.
Rather than find some middle ground.
Yeah. Don't be Elon Musk. Don't overpromise and underdeliver.
Definitely don't do that.
Just keep it close to the vest. I know it's killing you that you've got this awesome Qi charger thing that goes way above and beyond, but it's the first time you've built any product like this, and it's not necessary for you to announce it today. So don't just wait. Announce it in the spring. People go gaga over it. Oh, it's not ready yet? Fine. We'll announce it this year at the iPhone event. It'll be fine. Nobody knew. Like, we used to get rumbles about things where it was like, oh, well, this was a product supposed to be out last year, but they delayed it, and now it's out this year. I mean, there's always going to be stuff like that, but in the end, if you needed another year, yeah, that's a good sign that you shouldn't have announced it last year if it took you another year.
Would have been fine.
All right, well, Dan, I got to move on to my next thing, because I just going to keep on going with things that I have to do before I go on vacation. So
good luck to you.
Unless I call you from England or something,
feel free. I'm told the long distance international calling is very reasonable these days.
Oh, I've got the I'm gonna be roaming with a foreign SIM, so I could just Skype or FaceTime call you.
FaceTime you, me, 31 of our closest friends.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But until then, and until I return, perhaps, so it may be a little while, dear subscribers, but until then, all that's left for me to say is, bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.